It's okay. We're going to go ahead and dismiss our children, 3 to 7, to Children's Church. We'll receive the children's offering today for those that want to send some funds to Honey Park to the children there. The Lord reminds us regularly how He provides for His family. So kids, you're invited to come do that. I'd like to invite our church family to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians to begin with this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The first thing we're going to do this morning is we're going to celebrate communion together. And so I want to take a few minutes to, certainly on our Sunday morning time, to encourage you to listen to these scriptures, because we want to be very careful that we do not partake of the communion celebration unworthily in a manner that dishonors the Lord Jesus. And certainly we'll be reminded of that as I read this together. The Corinthian church, if you know anything about it at all, you know the Corinthian church was a fleshly group. They're just like church, just like people. And there's a church that wrestled with division and strife and favoritism and the spiritual gifts issue and people taking their roles and not taking their roles. There's all kind of issues. And this is just one of them in this particular book. And one of the problems they had was that when they came to the celebration of the Lord's table, people came and they made it a time where it was all about self and selfishness. And they were eating and becoming gluttons and drinking and becoming drunk, and that is not at all what the Lord intended when He had the first communion time with His apostles. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 11. I'd like to read, beginning in verse 17, and we'll read all the way to the end of the book, end of the chapter, not the book, but the chapter. How's that? But in the following instructions, Paul said, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe that, I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it's not the Lord's supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. Now, I love the way it's phrased here. What? What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, this is my body, for which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. For when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. But about the other things, I will give directions when I come. In this passage, you don't hear much spoken about this. But the reality of it is what the Lord is showing is how powerful and personal the celebration of communion is. And we are not to approach the Lord's table in a manner that is fleshly. that brings our carnality, our fleshiness, our sin, our attitudes and actions to it. We are to make sure right now that before we celebrate this, that our hearts are right before the Lord. And so one of the things I want to remind you is that as we pray here in a few moments, and I'm going to give you ample time to search your own heart. I can't search your heart. You can't search mine. Even this week, as I knew this day was coming, this celebration was coming, I've been examining my own heart and asking God to examine my heart as well, preparing my own heart. And certainly He brought some things to mind, and I've dealt with them by the grace of God. But I'll say this, what we have failed to realize sometimes is that if we have issues, because the issues here were issues of division, strife. There was not unity. And, you know, that can be unity in a family. That can be between husbands and wives, parents and kids. It can be within the body, the framework of the local church, between brothers and sisters in the Lord. If we come and we celebrate and we know we have aught with one another, we're wrong. And we actually can bring the judgment of God upon us. And even in Corinth, it was such a heinous event that God brought upon some of those believers sickness, weakness, and actually even took some of them home early because they celebrated in a manner that was not pleasing to Him. I got a phone call this morning. In fact, I've been waiting on this call for some time. We have in my wife's family, they had a situation happen a year or so ago, and it was ugly. It was not good. And it was in her brother's family, oldest brother's family. And there's a ton of kids and a ton of adult kids in that family. And it split the family up. It's been bad. It's been ugly. I mean, they live all around each other and wouldn't even have fellowship. They've quit some of them going to church together. Some came to see me for counsel, and I gave them counsel, and they went down there and did the exact opposite and suffered, sadly, the consequences of that up until this morning. And the phone call this morning was that the one brother who had been the offending party originally called his oldest brother and said, "God wouldn't let me sleep last night. I'm done." And he came over to his house and he asked forgiveness. He fell on his knees in his living room, asked forgiveness. And then his wife, who was there, who had been a part of this, as far as she had just as much unforgiveness toward him as toward her brother-in-law, man, God just smote her and broke her. and her husband's the one that called me, and he was weeping and rejoicing. You know, that's what happens when God's people get it right. And you know what? They can have communion together today. But, you know, I wish I could say that's rare. But, you know, I've been around a long time. I've been serving the Lord a long time. And it's not rare. A lot of folks come and sit through a service, and they got alt with this one over here and alt with that one over there, and they just, it's always somebody else's fault. But you know what? That don't fly in the house of the Lord. And it's not for me to examine you. I mean, of course, if I know about it, I will exhort you and encourage you to get things right. Most times I don't know about these. God does. And what He clearly teaches is that we are to examine ourselves. And so what I'm doing now is I'm going to give you a time of just silent meditation to prepare your heart before the Lord. And if you know that there's something between you and anybody else, or if there's a specific sin that God brings to your mind, anything, I would encourage you to acknowledge that before God and confess it. For what it is sin before the Lord. Put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Let it go. If you're still unwilling to do that, that's between you and the Lord, then I would just encourage you, do not participate in our communion service this morning. Because I don't want you to bring judgment upon yourself because of your rebellion and disobedience. Okay? So just bow your heads together. And when I sense you guys are finished, when I give us plenty of time, I will, then as the Lord leads, we'll move into our time together. Father, as we come together this morning, we thank You for Your sending the Lord Jesus to die in our place. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for that glorious evening when You had the first season of communion with Your children. We thank You for all that it does to remind us of the high cost of our sin and the incredible steadfast love of you, our God and our Savior, to redeem us to yourself. We've asked you to search our hearts, O God. We ask you to look and examine our relationships, our business dealings, our attitudes and actions, our heart's desires. And God, if there's anything there that's not pleasing to you, God, may we acknowledge it as sin, confess it to you as sin, and turn from it. Repent of it this morning. Give us clean hands today, Lord. Give us pure hearts. I thank you that you are the God who knows all and sees all. Nothing is hidden from your sight. It is our prayer, O God, that in every heart, in every home, we walk in beautiful oneness with you. And as we celebrate this morning, God, may nothing, nothing hinder our celebration, our time of remembrance of all that you've done for us, Lord Jesus. Praise you. Thank you for full pardon and forgiveness for our sin. Thank you, God. Praise you this morning. In Jesus' name. I'd like to ask our deacons to come at this time, if you guys would come and help me get this prepared. Scripture records that on that fateful night that he took the bread and he blessed it. Let's bow together. Oh, Father, we thank you today for the bread that today represents, does not become, it represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body that was given and broken that we might be saved. We bless you and ask your richest blessings upon this time of celebration and this bread and all that it represents as we consider the incredible love of Christ for us. In Jesus' name. The Word of God records for us that on that fateful day, he took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body." It then records that he took the cup and he gave thanks. Brother Mark, would you give thanks for the cup? Anyone glad they're saved today? Are you glad you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you glad He's not some formal God of the guillotine who sits in heaven just waiting on man to mess up again so He can drop the hammer, send him into an eternity apart from Christ? What an incredible God He is. Okay, I know what time it is. It's about 20 minutes till. We have a very beautiful day today, a special day. I'd like to make sure this is going to be taped, I hope. But one thing I want to do today is I want to stop. And as we've said over the last several months, and certainly I think the guys have been announcing it, that we're going to be heading toward a vote on eldership. And I wasn't able to give that enough time while we were in the middle of that Spirit-filled series. So I wanted to make sure that we took time this summer, and we discussed this, and we walked through it together, scripturally. So I'm going to open with a word of prayer, tell you a little bit about what's going to happen today, and in the coming weeks, on Sunday mornings here, and I'll encourage you to pray with me about it. We're going to open with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to talk about the coming weeks, okay? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this morning's celebration and service already. I thank You for the incredible love that You have for us. Help us, Lord. We are sinful creatures, sinful beings, selfish in nature from birth, and we are desperate for You every moment of every day. Lord, may we pant for You as a deer pants for waters. We need You. We humbly bow before You, and may You just bless the remainder of our time here this morning as we review some things we've already studied scripturally. And we began to answer some questions together. I just thank You for this beautiful body here. It's got an earthly name called CBF, but the heavenly name is the Body and Bride of Jesus Christ. And we thank You that we have the privilege of gathering here this morning. And I thank You that all of us that have been saved, that have been born into Your family by faith in Jesus Christ alone, are a part of that beautiful body. May You lead us now as in our discussion in this day and in the weeks to come. And we just pray Thy will be done. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. What we hope to do today and in the coming weeks is we're going to take a little time today and I'm going to talk about those next few weeks. And then as we work through that, I hope to talk about a few of the questions that you may have that a few have posed to us. And we're going to talk about them. And the only way, and the thing that I've asked the Lord to help me to do is to help me have the right spirit and heart and make sure that I convey that to you guys. Because certainly, as you well know, I've been here since the inception of this church body. And I'm rejoicing in it. Let me say this. I'm not here to vilify anyone, to cast reproach or any such things toward anyone that has ever had a question or a concern. If you think that I have or am, then you're wrong, and you just don't know my heart. So my intent here today is to let Scripture speak and ask you, as I have, to let Scripture speak. And then we'll be coming to a vote, and we'll let you, the Lord, you'll have the opportunity to vote what you believe God has clearly taught you or told you to do. Have no problem with that. We have a big God, and He birthed us out a long time ago, and He's going to continue to do His work. One of the questions that was, you may ask is, why are we even doing this, Pastor? Well, that's a great question. Certainly, many of you weren't even aware of eldership or elder rule or elder governed or whatever terminology you choose to use. And in fact, it was even asked to me or us, why after almost 20 years do we need a change or do we need to change? That's a valid question. It's a great question, as a matter of fact. And I think it's a question that must be answered. And I want to restate that question. I want you to think about it for a moment from my perspective. How about this? Why would the founding pastor of almost 20 years of a local church lead his flock to this form of church leadership? Because that's the question that I have to answer. I have to answer, Lord, why would I even do this? I mean, is this just something I dreamed up? Is this a power struggle for Pastor Bruce? And if you know me, no, not at all. I'll just say this, and I'll give you a few points this morning. I really believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit has led us to this point. I think that it's not been hidden. It's not something that we've tried to do in a closet. We've been speaking from the pulpit for 5 years plus that the more we studied Scripture, the more we saw that a plurality of leaders in the church is of God. And up to the last three deacon boards, if I remember correctly, it's either the last two or last three, we've taught it, and as they've studied the Scriptures, we've been unanimous in that, and we've been making preparation, the changes that we would have to go through, trying to discuss it and work through it before we even brought it to you guys. And so, you know, your question is legit. I do believe it is the most scriptural form of church leadership. And I would have not, and I know Brother Mark brought this up, but back 18 years ago, he's been a part of an elder church where I guess it was done properly. I hope it was. As in any church, they're all saved sinners, so they can all have their kinks in the chain. But he even brought it up then. But as I look back, Mark, I've tried to answer that question in my own heart. You know, why didn't we do it then? Why didn't we agree with him then? Because he said, Brandon, I think we need to do this. And I guess the Spirit didn't have me prepared, brother, to be honest with you. Maybe I wasn't mature enough at that time. I'm not sure. But as I've studied and over the last 5 to 7 years, it seems as though God has brought me to that point. And as I see it very clearly in my mind, in my heart. I believe also it provides the absolute best spiritual protection of the local church by the accountability that it provides and by the truth that it requires. One of the things that I see happening in the American culture and the Church of Jesus Christ is a rampant departure from truth. I mean, it's like they're all jumping on a train and choo-choo, going off into the sunset. And it's amazing how many people claim to be Christian and claim to be Bible-believing Christians, but they don't practice the very Bible that they claim to believe and trust in. And the thing that I think about in the longer term is I understand now why God has a plurality of leaders, because you have a mature group of those, and we'll talk more about that later, who are leading the church and guiding it and governing it that are spiritually minded and spiritually hearted, and you won't just have one guy. And certainly we'll talk more about that in a little bit. I also believe it provides the greatest opportunities to prepare the next generation for church leadership and service. Because if you see and you know that an elder, let me say this about eldership. An elder is not something that Brother Dave just says one day, "Golly, I think I'd like to be an elder." I'll never forget a Church of God pastor that I met one time, and I got around the guy, and my spirit didn't bear witness with him. He was an unbeliever. And I said, "What? How did you even get in ministry?" And he said, "Oh, I was a youth pastor, and I just decided I wanted to get paid for it." Wow. You'd be surprised how many times that actually is the thought, and that's the motivating desire behind a pastor, sadly. The reality of eldership is that if we believe that God has called out a group of men, whether it be 3 or 30, depending upon the size of the church, it's the Holy Spirit that's called them to that position. It is a position that they desire. And let me say this, it's 24/7. And some will be paid and some will be lay elders, and we'll talk about that. But it is a God-called position, much different than deaconing. And we'll talk about that later on. So I think that as you grasp that concept, as we grasp the spiritual concept, the Spirit of God's the one that calls forth the leaders, then guess what he also does? He helps us reach back and he prepares the younger generation, the next generation, to have young men who are trained and prepared to defend their faith, to stand on the authority of Scripture, and to be able to articulate it in a way that people get it. And certainly they will not compromise. And we are headed toward a time of compromise, the greatest we've ever seen in the history of the United States. I also believe that no one leader possesses all the gifts and skills to lead the church. I'm a perfect example of that. Let me read that again. Let me just reiterate that one again. No one leader possesses all the gifts and skills to lead the church. And you need just to look right here, and you can see, man, there's so many chinks in my armor, so many places that I can't measure up. Well, they're not my spiritual gifts. And the reality is, one guy can't do it all. We'll talk more about that later on. I believe also that Proverbs 11:14 says, in the abundance of counselors, there is victory, wisdom. Believe in an abundance and a plurality of godly leaders, God will provide. Elder rule, I believe, protects the pastor teacher. Let me tell you how it does that. It protects him because he's accountable. He holds him accountable. And we'll talk more about it later on. I believe precisely that's why some people don't want to do it. Some pastors don't want that accountability. The one that plays, he told me years ago, he played golf 5 times a week. He doesn't want. He's a single pastor church. He runs the church. He plays golf 5 times a week. Well, I can tell you now, if he was on a board with a plurality of godly men, he would be challenged in that area, because I know a couple of things he's not doing. He's not praying for his body, the body of believers he's called to serve, and he's not studying the Scriptures. Takes about 4.5 to 5 hours to play a good game of golf. Especially 6 or 7 if it's me, because I'm in the woods more than I'm on the fairways. But you know what? Accountability is a good thing. We need that. And so certainly I believe it protects the pastor, teacher. Elder rule provides a way to share the load. There's no doubt about that. In fact, I read this and I thought, man, that's true. Single elder rule is characteristic of cults, not churches. Think about it. Jim Jones didn't have anybody working alongside of him. They worked under him. I'm not saying that every single, I've not been a cult leader for the last 18 years. You've been a single elder, single pastor church for that long. However, I do believe that God has birthed out men through the years that have served in that capacity without the title. I also believe that Scripture is clear that pastoral ministry in the New Testament is a team concept. I believe that's clear. We'll talk more about that. I'll ask this. The second question that I brought to my mind this week is, why don't more churches practice it? Because to be honest with you, there's not a lot. There's the brethren churches. You see a couple of independent churches like ours, others that are similar to ours that may practice it. The Presbyterian churches practice it in their own form. We'll talk more about that as we review the messages we preached last year. But certainly there are, and why don't they? Why don't more churches practice it? Well, first of all, I have to say this. You'll have to ask the individual church. You just can't throw out a blanket answer and cover everybody. There are many reasons it's not practiced, and I have my opinion. Many follow the Baptist model, which is honestly the model that we have followed here. Many of us have followed the Baptist model and are either A, in that group, they're either denominationally driven, which would be the Southern Baptists, which are big, or the GARBC churches of up north, I think it is. They're very driven. Is that right up there? Is that right, Jennifer? I think it's GARBC. They're very denominationally driven, their hierarchy, if you would. Or either they're congregationally driven, the congregation, which is more of us looking for a democratic form of government, or either they will be pastorally driven. And I can tell you that in this community, there are some of all of those, all three of those. And so the reality is many of them have chosen to follow a Baptistic model. And some of you even brought us some literature that said, hey, here's what this particular one of them was, a Southern Baptist. Well, basically, they just espoused the Baptist position. Well, we're Baptists, and that's the way the Baptists have always done it. And what was sad to me, that in that document that was questioning elders, they didn't go to the Scriptures and say, well, the Scriptures say this, 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 and this, and let's compare our Baptist doctrine and denominational belief system to what the Bible says. They were saying, hey, we're Baptists, and we ain't giving that up. Well, I'm a Baptist, and I'm willing to give that up. Somebody says, well, what kind of church are you? I said, well, we're very Baptistic in our theology. But I'll say this, the Baptists ain't going to be the only ones in heaven. Just because the Southern Baptists sanction it don't mean it's necessarily of God. There are some things they've been sanctioning that aren't necessarily of God. But I'm not judging them. I'm just saying we need to understand that many churches don't practice it because it goes against their tradition. Goes against how they were raised. Well, my mom and daddy did it this way. That's the way the church I was raised. That's the way I'm going to do it, bless God. Well, that's your prerogative. That's their prerogative. For me, I bring all of it, everything in my life, to the Scriptures. Even my role as your elder, pastor, bishop, whatever you want to call me, understand, I bring it to the light of God's Word. Either I'm a biblicist or I'm not. And I've been a biblicist for 18 years. I just wish I had gotten there earlier, Brother Mark. I really have, in regards to church leadership to guide us through this. I'll say this. I believe many, both denominationally driven, congregationally driven, and pastorally driven, they will not even deal with this because they fear loss of control. It's really, guys, let me just say, it's really about who's going to control God's church. It really is. I'm not afraid of that. God birthed this church out 18 years ago, and you know what? I'm good. I'll sell cantaloupes and watermelons for Jesus. That's not going to change my call in one bit. He's still on the throne. Bringing somebody alongside of me, because in our updated version of the Constitution and Bylaws, we're going to pray for at least three elders. There's two other men that I'm going to be accountable to, that I'm going to have to share the load with. Guess what? Some of them are going to get to speak. I don't want to be the centerpiece on the table. Now, not every pastor is that way. Not every deacon board is that way. Sad to say, many say, no, I'm not willing to give that up. And honestly, that's the struggle for many in our culture, okay? Also, I'll say this, sadly, many churches aren't scripturally driven. They're not even willing to look at these scriptures. And I had to look at it honestly and study it through for myself. And I'm grateful that God brought some families in through the years that have been through this and have been in elder-driven, elder-governed churches that have helped us understand, helped us study it out, and helped answer some of my questions. Because I've never been in a church that's been elder-governed. So really, when you think about that, you know, why do this? I have to believe, the guys, I believe it's from the Lord. I believe we're supposed to do this. I will say this. We don't have all the answers yet. As you see, this second draft that we're going to give out this morning, that I'm going to encourage you to read, we tried to address, preacher's shoes done got untied. I'm going to take my shoes off. Is that all right? Wait a minute. Is that okay, Connie? Because y'all going to be up here in a few minutes, okay? Pardon me. I feel like a Gillette now. I got them. They all got theirs on, except for Rachel down there. I see her. You know the Gillette. They're all about being barefoot. Okay, that's good. We want you to read this. Now, it's like reading paper to some of you. Some of you love it, okay? God bless you. But I'll tell you where to review it. But we've tried to address all the issues. If the Lord, through you guys, affirms this, confirms it, you know what? We're still going to have issues that we ain't thunk about. Okay, when we come to a vote, and if it's affirmative, and we move this direction, and if it's affirmative, we will. It's going to mean changes with the eldership. It's going to mean changes with the deacon board and how things are guided and governed. Okay, now as you well know in this, you'll see we don't have three elders. You only got one right now. And you stuck with me for right now until God develops these men. And certainly I think we got some that are qualified, but I've got some material. We'll talk more about that when we get there that I'm hoping to work them through, that we pray together. And you'll see the process of affirmation in this document. But not every question is answered. Some say, well, that means he's going to go out and he's going to put us in debt. The elders are going to be able to do that. Then you don't know this body of believers. You don't know me. Okay, you don't know me if you think that would ever happen. You need to understand that this is not about power. It's not about control for me or anybody that gets subject to this, that comes under that heading in years to come. It is about us following what we believe to be the scriptural truth. Depending upon God. See, I love it because it depends upon God the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of godly men who are spiritually minded and spiritually hearted. And there is a difference between that and those who serve in deaconing. Doesn't mean they're not spiritually minded men and godly men, but there's a difference. And we'll talk about that when we get there. So we don't have all the answers. And let me just say this. We're not cramming this down the church's throat. But we have got to bring this to where we're going to go and see what God's going to do with it. And we'll trust the Lord, okay? We'll trust that He will lead us where He desires for us to go. Okay? Now, next week, okay, I hope you come back because I'm going to review, because I preached probably a good bit of last spring and throughout the summer last year, multiple messages. Now, I'm not going to preach them all again. But I'm going to review them for those who were not here. We're going to review them. We're going to go back through the scriptural reasons behind what we believe is change in church leadership structure. Okay? Then once we do that, I plan to take the Constitution and we will address, okay, we will address the areas that we have changed, that are dramatic changes. And that would be, what are the roles of elders and what, you know, what governs them, what guides them? And then how does that change the role of our deacons? And we'll see how that's going to function. And that's still a process that's got to be worked out. One of the things that I felt like was neat, that I saw the unseen hand of our God. I have to believe He's doing this, but about four years ago, we had one of our men who was the chairman of our deacon board. We used to only have one chairman. Well, this particular one was out of town a lot. And so they continually kept coming to me with different things and saying, you know, we need to, what are you going to do? I said, well, he's out of town, let me, and I'd have to deal with it. And so what happened was, which I'll do, it's not a problem, but deacon things are different than elder things, than pastor things. So what happened was, the next year that same person was nominated again, and I spoke up as the elder, as the pastor, and I said, hey, I have no problems. I think he's very qualified. However, he's out of town a lot. And so what I want to ask you to do is I want you to nominate a co so that when he's out of town, I got a co that'll help take care of business. And guess what happened? We've been using that system incredibly well. I think it's worked very well. It's kind of helped share the load in the deacons. Wow, that's a novel idea. And guess what? One of the things that the Lord knew, that if we come to this, if he leads us to this, I'm the only elder. Well, I'm supposed to vote on my salary, right? Well, I don't want to vote on my salary. Some pastors be going, yeah, I want to vote on mine. I don't. I trust the Lord. The deacons have always handled that, but you know what we've got? We're going to have three elders. We don't have but one elder now. But guess who they're going to be? The co-deacons. So we've got the two guys there until the Lord brings in another elder. And then once he brings in another elder, and once we see him and we see that he's God's man, and the church affirms that by a vote and then the laying on of hands, you know what will happen? Guess what? Then we'll add one in, take one of those co-deacons out. And we'll have three still until that gets taken care of, until we get three elders in that role. Then the deacon board will be able to function as we believe God's going to lead us, and certainly the elder board will do the same. So it's going to be a time of transition. I'll be honest. Just Bruce speaking to his brothers and sisters. You know what the easiest thing to be for me? Keep it like it is. In fact, I've had friends tell me, you're an idiot. Why would you ever, in the highlight and the twilight of your ministry, want to bring and share this with anybody? And I say, because it ain't about me. This is his church. He birthed this thing out 18 years ago. Y'all remember there was two pastors in? Any of you remember that? Y'all remember there was two pastors? Anybody remember? Who was the other one? Huh? Steve Hinton was the second one. Steve Hinton had twice as much education than I did. He had been to Liberty and graduated, been to Bob Jones and graduated, if I remember correctly. And I remember saying at that time, I don't care which one. If God wants me to pastor, shepherd this work, then so be it. If he wants Brother Steve, so be it. It's not about me. It has never been about me, and it's still not about me. This is about us discerning the will of the Lord and just courageously, I believe, following it. If you don't, that's fine. I'm not going to cram it down your throat. My responsibility is to preach it, teach it, create the opportunity, and we'll let God do the rest. How's that? We've got a big God. He'll show us the way. Are there questions? Sure. What I want you to do this week now, because some of the things, let me see if I give you the note here. I didn't get to cover as far as I wanted to today. Let's see here, which is a big surprise there, right? Okay, what I want you to do when you get this today, when you go home, if you guys will just jot this down, I want you to read Article 4, Sections 3, 4, 5, and 6. These are the primary ones that address elders and deacons and how these roles are going to be changing and are going to be defined. Okay? I will be covering in the coming weeks, as we review what Scripture says about eldership, the role of the elder, what testimony, what examples are there in the Scripture that teach us about, A, what did the early New Testament local churches do? How many? What about the Apostle Paul? What about missionaries? I mean, what about all those others? And what was the testimony of Scripture? We'll be covering all that. But in our Constitution, just review Article 4, Sections 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you have questions and if you'd like to jet them to me on email, send them to the church, call, give them to us. We'll try to take them down and we'll deal with them as we come to it together. Is that fair enough? That's it today. Okay, now we have a very special time this morning, and certainly I want to make myself a note real quickly where we left off. I appreciate you guys' patience with me. I have drugged my feet on this, and some of that has been because of my own uncertainty of timing. And it's not just been until this year that the Lord has confirmed in my heart that it's time. And we'll see what He's going to do with all that, okay? Now, we have a special event this morning. We're going to have a family come and unite with us, going to come and join with us. And we're excited to have them come. I'm going to get a microphone. And I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm just going to let y'all remain seated. I'm going to have Dan and Connie. Y'all come on. I'm going to get Connie good. You guys come on. Dan can handle it. We are pleased this morning to have the Snyders. This is Dan. This is Connie. And the Lord has led them here from Hillsboro, okay? Actually still working down there, right? And have made their way up here, and God has directed them to come to our church. We've met together and heard their testimonies, and they're, listen, blessing. You need to get a chance to plug in, connect with them, and they've been encouraging us over the last several weeks. We need to join, we want to join, and we want them to join. And so we've heard their clear testimony and certainly just rejoice in what God has done. We're rejoicing that God has directed them here. They have a lot of history that where they've served the Lord, and we're excited about it. Because let me tell you how I pray, and I told you guys this. I've asked God to do a work in this place. I'm asking God to give us givers of their time, talents, and treasures. I've asked God to either raise them up from within the church or bring them in from outside. And I said, I believe God's bringing some sacrificial givers of their time and certainly their talents before the Lord here to our church family. And, you know, He's been answering that prayer one family at a time, one individual at a time. And I give Him glory. So I was excited when I got to go to their home and meet with them and talk with them. Of course, I'm going to let... Now, Connie's already told me, I ain't talking. Are you still feel that way? Yeah. She's over here holding her breath. Go ahead. Go ahead, brother. I think Dan's going to share a bit, but go ahead.
Well, I just... Is this on? Yeah.
Hector's got it.
I just thought I'd share just a little bit about us and a little bit of background to introduce us to you all. Connie and I were both saved and baptized at an early age and had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian family, in myself in upstate New York and Connie in Florida. And one thing that I think was a highlight that not only of our Christian immediate families, but we both had grandparents that were very strong Christians, and it was evidenced in both our parents' lives as well as our own upbringing. So just as an aside, I just would really encourage, if you have Christian parents or Christian grandparents, is just to treasure those times. Why do I bring this up?
Blessing, that's all right.
Anyway.
You're with family.
So anyway, so family is a very important thing to us. We both went to Christian colleges, and we both ended up at Cedarville College, and now Cedarville University. And we weren't there at the same time, and that's a whole other story, too long for that and how we met and everything. But after Connie's graduation from college, we were married and in New Jersey, and we've really just this past year celebrated 25 years. So it's been a great time together, and we really appreciate each other there. So a couple things about, I guess, our family life as we've grown. God hasn't seen fit to provide us with children, and we really have enjoyed our own families as we've grown up and spent a lot of time with family. We've moved around quite a bit too, and And so our church family becomes very important to us. And I think that, you know, one of the things we noticed when we first started coming here is that the love and the family atmosphere that we have here, and just the plain speak, just the ability to just talk and share things as a family. And I'm sure we look forward to getting to know a lot more of you than we've already gotten to know. So we do are encouraged in that way. The you know, in thinking of moving, we have moved around quite a bit and had opportunity. It's really neat to see the way the Lord always brings people into our lives when we need those people, whether it's missionaries or, in our case, church families, that you know, you have an opportunity to both share and minister and use spiritual gifts that God has given us, but also those opportunities to have people minister to us as well. And I think, you know, in any church like that, it's a two-way street. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that we really look at church membership and joining with and fellowshipping with a local church is to be a really important thing, as opposed to just attending and just, you know, we can all get the benefits of being under the Word of God. And I think that's really important, but for us, it's an important step to identify and commit ourselves to the local body here, because it's a commitment on our part, but it's also a two-way street. And I look for ways that we can minister to the body in different ways, but also that it gives you all an opportunity to minister to us. And so I do look forward to that, and I think we do together. So just a couple things on our background. We've spent the last 15 or so years fellowshipping at Brethren Assemblies, and so some of the things pastors talked about are very near and dear to us. But we, for the last, about 6 years ago, we moved down from upstate New York down to Hillsborough, North Carolina. And we've really enjoyed it down here, and we had an opportunity the last 5 years or so. We spent with a new church plant in Apex, a new Brethren Assembly that's starting down there, and they're doing very well. About a year ago, we moved here to Burlington, and it was just too far to drive, so we had to look for someplace a little bit closer. And so we had an opportunity after a bit we just happened to drive by and see the church and looked you all up on the website, we really appreciate, you know, what really caught our attention was your statement of faith on your website. Most churches, I'm off script here.
No, you didn't.
But, you know, most churches, when you look at a website and you look at this, it's like, you know, what they believe about God, what they believe about Jesus Christ and all these things here. And, you know, and all great stuff. But what really kind of caught our attention was the fact that you also apply things, what you believe, on a host of very practical events that people wrestle with. And there is no ambiguity on how this body of believers feels on very critical and crucial issues. And we hear it from the pulpit as far as well. And so there's no question on that. So when we started attending, it was under very clear understanding of what this body of believers believed. And then with some of the changes and some of the things we're talking about, you know, that's also been something that we've been praying about and encouraged with as well. So I just wanted to kind of share some of that. It helps you give a background for us. And like I say, we hope to be able to meet you all. A little personal background maybe. Connie is a nanny for a couple families working with smaller children. And on a personal note, she enjoys cooking and gardening. And I'm personally a CPA, and I enjoy woodworking and photography. We both enjoy traveling, so a variety of interests, and enjoy getting to know other people and meeting together and, you know, that kind of thing. The last thing, you know, it's funny that God's timing is kind of, you know, we don't always understand it at the time, and it's one of those things where it just kind of, you look back and it makes sense and everything, but we've been meaning to join and to become members here, and it's just the timing ended up working out. We were talking to Pastor, and he says, "Well, it has to be today, Pastor." And he says, "Well, why?" And he says, "Well, Connie has some surgery coming up at the end of June, and so she'll have several weeks of recovery from that, which she won't be around, And then we're going to be gone for the next couple of weeks with family events, weekends with family events and whatnot. So we're here, but we're going to be gone for a bit, but we're still here.
I didn't make them mad and run them off the first week, okay?
So we covered your prayers, and we just asked that you would hold us up. And so we really do look forward to growing to know all of you corporately as a body. Amen. And as individual people as well. So thank you.
Amen.
You sure
thank
you don't want to say anything?
You sure can. Hey, she can hold her own. I've been at her house. She's done great. Got a great testimony. I've heard clear evidence of their salvation. They've given great testimony. Been baptized by immersion. Listen, I've been in ministry. This is my 25th year as a pastor and been in ministry much longer than that, 36 years. And this is the first time I've ever received one of these. And, you know, as I read this, I thought, you know, this is how it's supposed to be done. You know, this is how transition from church to church really needs to happen. It's such a testimony to God's grace. And it says, "Dear brethren, we would like to introduce to you Dan and Connie Schneider, who have recently moved to Burlington, North Carolina area. Dan and Connie have been in fellowship with us and the believers gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ at Western Wake Bible Chapel for 2.5 years. They've maintained a good testimony the entire time they were here with us, and have both had active roles in the assembly, Dan serving as a deacon, speaking occasionally, and helping with building projects. Connie has served in the nursery and providing food for Sunday snacks and meals. We are missing them already and feel the loss of their service and spiritual gifts, but know they'll be used of the Lord wherever the Savior places them. Please receive them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and enjoy their fellowship with you. Sincerely in Christ, the elders of Western Wake Bible Chapel, Jonathan Peck and Annal Samuel," looks like. What a blessing. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be done? Commending one another between fellowships. The work of the Lord is much bigger than one little unique local church. And that's how it's supposed to happen. That's very refreshing. When y'all gave it to me, I told you, it blessed my socks off. And so we rejoice in that. Do I hear a motion this morning to receive this couple into our fellowship? Do I hear second? All in favor, say amen, hallelujah. Let's stand up, okay? Now, what I'm going to do, I need a couple of deacons real quickly. If you'll come, if you guys will shift over to the middle, we're going to give you a bunch of southern hugs, okay? Deacons, if you guys will come and take these back here, and be sure to pick up a copy before you leave, okay? In fact, if you're going to, you know, as many as you want to, take them out there. Take one per family. If we run out, we'll get you an extra one this week, okay? They'll get out of our way. Thank you, men. We have extras up here if you want to get them here. One per family, please. Leave me one, please, brother. Okay? All righty. Can I welcome you, my brother? Bless your heart. I'll hug you. Bless your heart. Woo! My stomach growling. Bless your heart, sister. It wasn't. I'm kidding. Oh! Pardon me. All right, we're going to give them the right hand of fellowship, and so I encourage you, let's run the line this way, out that way. Can we do that? So let's bow our heads together.